Okay, today's daf is Sanhedrin daf Mem Zayin. We're holding on daf Mem Vav Amid Beis, and we're about to start the discussion about eight lines from the bottom of the page, whether Hesped is Yakra Dechayi or Yakra Deshichvi, whose honor a Hesped is in, the living or the dead. And the Gemara is going to bring nine rayos, whether one way or the other, until it finally arrives at a conclusion. Then the Gemara is going to bring proof from the Navi Sheker that was buried near Elisha, at least momentarily, that you're not supposed to bury a Rasha next to a Tzaddik, which relates to our discussion, because in our Mishnah we said that they would not bury the Neskalin v'Nesrafin next to the Ne'arugin v'Nechnakin, because they're people of different religious levels. Then the Gemara is going to discuss whether we say the notion of Hoel v'Nidche, Nidche. Do we apply the concept of Dichui? Dichui essentially means that once something is disqualified, even if that which disqualified it goes away, and therefore you would think it's now no longer disqualified. No, but since it was once disqualified, something remains disqualified forever. A carbon, for example, that becomes disqualified, even if whatever was the problem with the carbon has been fixed, may, if you hold the concept of zichui, it would remain disqualified forever. And in that context, the Gemara is going to discuss when exactly Misa provides a kapara for a person, and when it is that Misa does not provide a kapara for a person. On Beis, the Gemara is going to discuss whether that which is mechubel lekarka can become asur ba'anah, like by a kever. If you have the dirt that's by a kever and it could be useful for some reason or another, for a segula, for a refuah, are you allowed to use it, or do we assume that it's asur ba'anah? And then the Gemara at the very end of the daf, maybe we'll get to it, maybe we won't, is going to begin the sugya of hazmana milsa or hazmana lav milsa. What if something was not yet used for a mace, but it's, that which is used for a mace is asur ba'anah, but you designated something for use by a mace, but you haven't actually used it yet? Do we assume that hazmana alone makes it asur ba'anah, or do we assume that no, hazmana lav milsa? So today's shiur is sponsored once again by Avishai and Elishav Newman, l'zchusur for Shlema, for Chaim Naftali ben Frimit Freida, and for Sarah Freida bas Chaya. They should both have refuah shlema b'soch shar chole Yisrael. So let us begin now about eight lines from the end of the page on daf mem vav amin beis ibayiluhu. So says Gemara, we have a shaila, we have a question. Hespeid the yakra dechayi havi, or yakra deshichvi havi? What is the function of a hesped? What is the purpose of a hesped? Who are we trying to show honor to? Are we trying to show honor to the living, or are we trying to show honor to the dead? Says Gemara, l'may nafkamina. What's chakira is only as good as the nafkamina you have in the chakira. Meaning, either way, we have to do a hesped. What would be an example of nafkamina where if you say one way you won't have to do a hesped, you say the other way you will? Gemara says two nafkaminas. The amar lotus petu alu gavra. If a person says I don't want a hesped, so if it's for his own honor, he has the right to be mochel his own honor. But if it's for the honor of his entire family, he doesn't have the right to be mochel his family's honor. Inami lafuke meyorshin. Used to cost money to have a hesped. You have to pay the maspidim and the mekonanim. So can we force the yorshim to pay for it? If it's for the akrid shichvi, it's for the dead person's honor, so this is their responsibility toward the deceased, and we can force them to pay for it. But if it's for their own honor, you can't force them to pay for something that they're mochel, they're covered for. Tosus raises the question, there's a Gemara in Yevamos, that Klal Yisrael was punished for not being maspid sho'ul kahalacha. But if the whole point is that it's yakar d'chayi, fractosos, meaning if you're going to assume like the tzad, that it's yakar d'chayi, that it's for the honor of the living, obviously Klal Yisrael is mochel and that covered the haraya, they decided not to do it. So why would they get punished for not being maspid karaui? They chose that they don't need that kind of honor to be Maspid Sha'ul. So it also suggests that the fact that they weren't Maspid was not because they were Mochel their honor, but they were afraid to show the proper amount of Tsar because of David, and not a Mechil of their honor. And the Lo Sagur Mipnayish was the real Isser, that they were afraid of David, and that should not have been the reason that they should have refrained from Hesped. Also, Tosa says a second possibility is that maybe a king is different. That maybe, not to be maspid, a regular person, so that's just time you're not showing him extra honor. And it could be that primarily the purpose of a hesped is yakra d'chayi. But when you're dealing with a king, not to be maspid a king is the ultimate slap in the face. That's to be zayon ames, and that you're certainly not allowed to do. And for that, Klal Yisrael is punished. So the Marsha points out that based on that, we understand the Gemara Masechta Shabbos. The Gemara Masechta Shabbos tells us in Kuf Yam and Beis that Klal Yisrael was not Maspid Yehoshua, so that they were punished for that. because Yoshua had a din of a melech, and a melech has a totally different din, so you can't bring any raya one way or the other from Yoshua. Now, our Gemara tries to bring a raya from that which is said by Tzidkiyahu. Now, Tzidkiyahu was a melech as well, so lechora that shouldn't belong in the conversation either. So that's also a discussion that the Achronim have in this answer of Tosos, how we're going to deal with some of these rayas that actually did relate to a melech. So let's see the rayas. Tashma, raya number one. Vayava Avram l'spol d'sarav v'livkosa. V'yam mishum yakar d'chayihu, mishum yakar d'Avram mashula l'sara. If it's all because of the honor of the living, what, for Avram's honor, they delayed the burial of Sarah? So it says, Sarah gufa nichala ki yechid d'miyakar ba Avram. No, because this is something that Sarah would have preferred. She wants Avram to be honored through her. So therefore, it is her honor to be able to provide honor to Avram Avinu. Tashma Gemara says, let's bring another. And by the way, the pasuk itself, l'spod l'sara v'livkosa, teaches us two different elements of a hesped. It teaches us a couple of things. First of all, it teaches us two different elements of a hesped, that l'spod and l'livkos are both important elements. L'spod is to sort of celebrate the life, to highlight the great things about the person, to inspire, and l'livkos is to cry over the loss. Both of those are elements of a hesped, to highlight the greatness, and to, once you appreciate the greatness, therefore, to cry over the loss. You can only cry over the loss once you appreciate the greatness. That's why it's l'spod and l'fkos. So it's a question whether that was only by Sarah that l'spod and then l'fkos. Normally it goes the other way around. The person feels a sense of loss and they immediately react emotionally. They immediately cry, and then they can formulate ideas and thoughts about the person. They could say a hesped. Avram had this great control of his emotions to be able to formulate the ideas, and then bechi, because the bechi is so much more meaningful once you formulate exactly what the person really was. But the halacha in Shulchan Aruch, it says that when the function of a hesped is that it's supposed to be marid ma'os, you're supposed to try to inspire people to bechi. That's also directly from the pasuk, l'spod l'sarav l'fkosa, that a hesped is supposed to be l'fkos, it's supposed to bring people to tears. Tashema v'sabdu lo kol Yisrael v'kavroso v'i'amrit mishum yakar d'chayihu hanach b'yinei yakar d'inhu. Now if it's yakar d'chayi, the house of Yeravam, these were a bunch of rishayim. Why would we want to give them honor by saying a proper hesped? The pasuk is talking about Avia, the son of Yeravam, getting a hesped. So why should the rest of Yeravam's family receive this kind of honor? Tzadikim like it when other people receive honor through them. So says the Gemara, Raya number three, Tashema lo yisbedu v'lo yikbru. So that lo yisbedu v'lo yikbru, this is talking about the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, that the terrible punishment is that they're not going to have a hesped and they're not going to have a kvura. Now, if hesped is because of kavod achayim, so there are tzaddikim amongst the chayim. Why not be masped the rishayim if it's going to cost the tzaddikim who are alive? And so Gemara lo nichol the tzaddikaya demiakri berishi ayah. The tzaddikim are not so pleased to receive honor through the rishayim. So says Gemara, proof number four, Tashma. Beshalom Tamus, Ubimisrafos Avasecha, Hamalacha Marishonim, Sharhail Fenecha, Kain Yisrafulach, Vayadon Yisbedulach. That he's told, you're going to die in Shalom and you're going to have all the normal things. That Tzidkio is going to be released, Mibes HaAsurim, and that Nebuchadnezzar is going to die, Biyamav, and therefore when he dies, all the covet of is going to happen normally. So Viyam Mishum Yakar Dechai, but if the whole idea of a Hesped, part of what they're telling him is you're going to receive a Hesped, but if it's all about the honor of the living, why would it make a difference to him whether there's Yakr Dechai? So Hachi Karmalei Li Yakru Bayich Yisrael Ki Yechid Demisyakri Vavaseich. The Navi is telling him that Bnei Yisrael will receive honor through him, just like Bnei Yisrael received honor through his forefathers. It says Gemara now, Raya number five, Tashema. Gemara says, let's bring another raya. The pasuk says nivza be'ein of nimas, that it's nimas be'ein atzmo because of the kavod of Kadosh Baruch Hu. So we darshin zeches kiyom melech Yehuda shegir atzmo saviv al mita shel chaval. This is a reference to Chizkiyahu melech Yehuda, who took his father Achaz's bones and he dragged him on a bed of ropes in order to be mevazeh him because his father was such a terrible rasha, and that way people will will learn a lesson. But if the hesped is all about the honor of the living, and whatever kavod that they do to the mace is only because of the chayim, and the bizayon, therefore, that they do to the mace is only going to be a bizayon to the family, it's going to be a bizayon to the chayim, and the mace doesn't make a single ounce of difference to the mace, well then, my taima, why would you do that? I mean, you want to punish a rasha, it's not punishing him at all, it's punishing yourself. He still thought it was worth it, because it does provide a kapara when you put through such bizayon. Because of the kapara of the father, the docha, the covet of the whole Jewish people, Yisrael gufayu nichlu demiachli yikrayu legabei. The Klal Yisrael is happy with the kapara of the melech, and therefore they're mochel on their own kavod in order to achieve the kapara for the melech. Before we move on to the next raya, a couple of things that come up over here. First of all, Chizkiyo was Megarer Atzmos Aviv. When exactly did he do that? Did he do that right away when he died, or was that at some later date? So the Tos Yontif in the fourth parak of Maseches Pesachim says, from the fact that it says Girer Atzmos Aviv. Well, if it was Atzmos Aviv, it must have been that the Basar had already decomposed. So this must have been at some later date after Nisachal HaBasar. So it must be that he was initially buried, the body decomposed, he took out the bones from the Kever, and then he put it through this Bizayon. So he says, based on that, we could be Miyashiv Estirim Psukim. In Melachim Beis, Perek Tezayin, it says, Ve'ishkav Achaz Imavosav, Ve'ikaver Imavosav Bi'ir David. And in Divrei Hayamim Beis, Perachav Ches, it says, Vishkav Achaz Mavosav Yikbru Bi'ir Yerushalayim, Ki Lo Hivi'uhu L'Kivrei Malchei Yisrael. He was not buried in the Kivrei Malchei Yisrael. So L'chor, it's a steer in the Psukim, but says it's Yantav, it's not a steer at all. Initially, he was buried in Mavosav in Ir David. And afterwards, they took him out, Chizkiyo took him out, and was Megar Ratzmosav, and after the Gir Ratzamos, he did not bring him back to the Kivrei HaMalachim, he brought him to some other Kever. And the Raya, he says, as Gemara is going to say later on in Daf Tzadi Vav, that the day that Achaz died, the day was cut short by 11 hours so that there wouldn't be a hesped for Achaz. What do you mean, so that there wouldn't be a... Chizkiyo is dragging his bones on a mitah shel chavalim. Yechoshesh, that he's going to be maspid him? No, it must be, says the Tos Yantif. He wasn't dragging his bones on a mitah shel chavalim that day. That was months later, after Ikul HaBasar. That day, there was a chashash that he still might be maspid him. And that's why Kodesh Baruch Hu made it, that the sun said 11 hours early, so he won't be maspid him. Now Rashi writes over here, he dragged his bones on mitzvah shechavon, says Rashi, derek bizayin mimnei shahaya Aviv Rasha, because his father was a Rasha, and you don't have to worry about the kavod of his father. As Rashi goes on, same in the kavod Av Nami Leka Lemechash Dinasi BaAmcha Ksiv BaUsa Meisa Amcha. You don't have to honor Aviv Rasha. It's unnecessary to honor a father when he's a Rasha, and that's why this is not a violation of Kibud Av. That is the shita of the Tur in Yardei Simin Reishmem and the Smag. However, the Rambam in the sixth paragraph of Hilchos Mamun writes that even Aviv Rosh and Balaveros, Mechabdo Umisyare Mimenu. One has to have kavod and mora, even for a father who's a Rasha, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch paskins, Simin Reish Mem, even though the Ramah paskins like the Torah that one does not have to honor. So the Acharonim asked the Kasha and the Rambam from our Sugya. Now there is a Kasha in the other direction as well. The Gemara Bava Metzia says that if a father was Gozal a Sapara or something, do you have to return it? So the Gemara says, Mishum Kavod Aviv, the Yarshim should return it. So the Gemara raises the question, what, because of the kavod of the father is a Rasha. The Gemara seems explicitly like Rashi, right, against the Rambam, so that our Gemara also seems like Rashi against the Rambam. So the Gemara said, the case is he did tshuva. Only if he did tshuva do you actually have to honor him. But the elsewhere the Gemara says that a mamzer is chayiv b'kavod aviv. Now he didn't become a mamzer because his father was doing mitzvah semaisim tovim. He became a mamzer because his father was a rasha. So that seems to be the source for the Rambam. So how do we reconcile everything? Is a person chayiv and kavod aviv rasha or not? So the Maram Shik suggests that the svara for the Rambam is that aviv rasha is in the smait from the pasuk v'nasi ba'amcha. But while he's alive, even if he's ain't osam Maisa Amcha, if you're not mechabid him, you're being mitzayer him. It's causing him actual anguish. And that tsar applies, the isser of being mitzayer aviv applies even if he's eino osa Maisa Amcha. Meaning to not be mechabid him, to be mechabid him, a mitzvah, to positively go out of your way to be mechabid him, that doesn't apply to aviv rasha. So alachar misa, there's only a din of kibud, there's no isser of being mitzayer him because he doesn't feel any tsar. That's what Ram Shik suggests. I heard from Rav Shachter, and I saw that Rabbi Hartman writes this way as well, that maybe there's a different explanation. There's a Minchas Chinuch Mitzvah Lamed Gimel raises the question whether Kibud Avim is a mitzvah beradam lachavero or a mitzvah beradam lamakom. So what a number of the Acharim suggest is it's probably both. It's a mitzvah beradam lachavero in the sense that it deals with you and another human being. It's a mitzvah beradam lamakom as indicated by its placement in the Aseres HaDibros, and also by many Gemaras, Maseches Kiddushin, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Gimel Shut V'niyesh Ba'adam, it's the father, the mother, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you're mechabed your parents, it's as if you're mechabed HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which makes it a very direct Bein Adam L'makom Ki'ilu Kibdu Ni. So it's a very direct Bein Adam L'makom in that sense. So maybe it's both. Rav Shachter suggested that maybe the halachos of beradam lachavero, the mitzvos beradam lachavero, typically only apply when it's chavero b'chayim, when the person is alive. So it could be that there's two elements of there's two mechayim of kibud avim. There's a beradam lachavero and there's beradam lamakom. Now beradam lamakom is that it's an honor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to honor your parents is only true if your parent is not a rasha. It's no honor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to honor a rasha. So the beradam lamakom is not going to apply to aviv rasha. Beradam lachavero is not going to apply to a deceased parent. So if the parent is alive and is a Rasha, there is a chiyuv mitzad the ben adam lechavero. There's no chiyuv mitzad ben adam lemakom because he's a Rasha. If he's dead and he's a tzaddik, there is a chiyuv, not mitzad ben adam lechavero because he's dead, but yes, mitzad ben adam lemakom. But if he's both dead and a Rasha, then there's no chiyuv at all. The ben adam lechavero went away when he died, and the ben adam lemakom goes away because he's a Rasha. So that's why all of the examples we have, all the rayas we have in Shas, that you don't honor aviv Rasha, are all cases of a Rasha Shemes. The Gemara in Bava Tzia was about returning that which he stole, and he's already dead. Our Gemara also, Chizkiyahu's Megar Atzmos Aviv Al Mitzvah Shechaval, after he was already dead, while he was alive in Achinami, you still have that mechayev ben adam mechavero. So I thought that was a very good explanation of what's going on over here. Tashma says Gemara, we'll bring another raya. Amar lehen altis beduni ba'yaros, that if a guy says I don't want you to be masped, I mean not a, if a guy says Rebbe said to his children before he died, when you take me from Tzipori to give it to my kever in Beis Sha'arim, I don't want you to be masped me in the small cities, only in the larger cities where there are more people there, and the people from the small cities will make their way to the larger cities. But if it was all for the honor of the living, what does he care what they do with him? So he thought that that would be a greater honor for the Jewish people if there are larger crowds at his hesped. So says Gemara another raya. Eino over a love. Even though there's nisr of losalin, you're not allowed to leave someone unburied for some time. If it's for the kavod of the deceased, you're allowed to do that. My love lekvodo shel meis. Doesn't that mean lekvodo shel meis? And you see that all of this is because of the kavod of the meis. Says my love lekvodo shel chai. No, it's for the honor of the living that they should have a proper funeral for their loved one. Mishum kvodo shel chai mavisle the meis. What, for the honor of the living, we're willing to delay the burial of the meis? In Kiyam Rachmana Lo Salin of Losal Aids Dumya Detali this baby Zion. The whole Isra of Lo Salin is only when the mace is going to be mutal the Zion Avlacha keeping the less baby Zion. No, but over here it's not going to be Zion to the mace to remain unburied while we wait for the Mekonanim and the Maspidim and the Tachrichim and everything else. So Tashim Ali Gemara says an eighth raya. Hilina Lukvodo L'Shameil of Ayaros L'Havilo Mekonanos L'Havilo Arnu Tachrichim Eino over a love. That if you delay the burial in order to bring all the things that are necessary for a proper funeral, it's not a violation of Lotzalon. Shekola osa eno ella l'kvodo shel meis. That everything is l'kvodo shel meis. So we hear the raya is not from the halacha, it's from the formulation of how we say the halacha. We say explicitly because all this stuff, including the hesped, is l'kvodo shel mei. So you can't be more explicit than that. No, what we really mean is that it's a kavod shel chai, but through the kavod shel chai, it will be a lack of bizayon for the mace. Tashem al Gemar says one final raya. Rabbi Nosson Omer simin yafa l'meish and from menu lachar misa, that it's a simin yafa for the mace if he suffers after he dies. Meis shelo nispar v'lo nikbar, o shechayu gorarto, o sheshamim mezalfen al mitaso, zeu simin yafa l'meis. That if you have a meis that goes through some sort of indignity, he's not buried, a wild beast gets to his body, it rains all over his body, that's a simin yafa l'meis. He's going through something that is providing him with a kapara. So shema mina yakra deshichvi, who what you see from here is that it is apparently yakra deshichvi, shema mina. So it is the honor of the dead, and by the dead suffering in this way, suffering these indignities. So you see that that will be a kapara for him, because otherwise it was supposed to be for his honor. In the Sefer HaChaim, the Maral Miprag's brother writes that, you know, Chazal tell us in a number of places that the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals with tzaddikim uvdan averos or reshaim uvdan mitzvos is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu ultimately wants olam haba to be reserved for tzaddikim to be rewarded and reshaim to be punished. Whatever happens in this world is to sort of try to even the score out. So if you have a tzaddik viralo, the Gemara says in numerous places that it's very often, the Gemara in Kiddush and elsewhere, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to give the tzaddik whatever punishment he needs down here so that he'll have a clear path in olam haba. And the same by a rasha, that a rasha sometimes will have success in this world because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to reward him down here so that he'll have a clear path to Gehenim, where he's not going to be owed any reward. That's what we find many times in Chazal. However, sometimes the tzaddik doesn't avera, says the Maral Miprag's brother. Sometimes the tzaddik doesn't avera that there's nothing in this world that can provide proper kapara for it. That there's nothing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do in this world that will actually address that avera. Sometimes a rasha does a mitzvah that there is nothing this worldly that will be enough to do such a to properly reward him. So he says that's where the period between the Misa and the Kavura comes in. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses that period for, because it's La'achar Misa, but at that point the tzaddik is ready to have kapara for those averos that could not be addressed while he was alive, and it's at that point that the Rasha is able to have his reward for those things that could not be addressed while he is alive. So that's an interesting ha'ara of the Maral Miprag. What's also interesting is the halacha we say in the end of the day, the Gemara comes to a clear conclusion. You know, a lot of people are familiar with the sugi, yakra deshichvi, well, we forget, there is a conclusion. The conclusion is, it's for the honor of the dead, it's not for the honor of the living. So you have to keep in mind, the Gemara started with two nafkaminas. The main nafkamina with yakra deshichvi, yakra dechai, okay, whether you force them to pay, how often does that happen? We're going to force them to pay for a spade, and that doesn't come up so much. But what does come up a lot is the other nafkamina, al yispiduni, a person says, I don't want a hesped, do not be maspid me. So if it's yakra deshichvi, we have to listen to him. He has he left such a tzava that he doesn't want a hesped, so we have to listen to him. So why is it and that is in fact the halacha in Shulchan Aruch. So why is it that yes, that's the halacha, but it doesn't seem to be the minhag? You know, there are people that say al yispiduni, and dafka those people, it seems that they give the most they give a hesped that says he didn't even want a hesped, so that's an old tradition also. The Tshuva Me'ava writes that his rebbe, the Nadav Yehuda, when the Pnei Yeshua died, the Pnei Yeshua said he didn't want a hesped, and the Yehuda thought about it, and he gave a hesped. And he said that there are two elements of a hesped. There's the hesped that's for the honor, Yakra Deshichvi, that's our sugya, but there's also Hachai Yitein Alibo, that part of the hesped is to be ma'orer in those who are living, certain important lessons that they could derive and that he doesn't have the right to take away that from the people who can learn important lessons from his life. So if it's a gadol be Yisrael who doesn't who people need to learn from, so maybe the tone of the hesped is a little different. It shouldn't be the emphasis should be more about what we can learn from him. There are certain things that you that probably we can't learn from gadol Yisrael that are so far beyond our capacity to understand or to relate to that we probably can't learn from gadol. So those things should probably not be emphasized, even though they're great honor for the mace. But in the Tshuva Me'avim himself, actually, even though he's a loyal Talmud of the Nadav Yehuda, he says, I don't see a heter barer for what he did. He says, you know, that's the That was the excuse, but it's hard to find. They had to, Adrab, in some communities, by Chabad, for example, they don't give hespedim at all. They avoid hespedim entirely. And the reason is that if one is misatzel in a hesped, so that's a terrible thing to do, to not give a hesped properly. So you don't want to take a chance and give it wrong. Also, you're not allowed to exaggerate in a hesped. And it turns out that it's worse for the niftar if you give it, you're allowed to exaggerate. I shouldn't say that. The Shulchan Aruch says you're allowed to exaggerate. You're not allowed to lie. So you're allowed to exaggerate. So something the Achronim explained, because probably you didn't know everything good that the guy did. So if you saw a certain, tone to his life, so you could say a little more, because probably there was a little more than you've seen. But you're not allowed to lie in hesped. So we're afraid that we're going to say things, we're going to be dover shkarim, and that's going to be bad for the niftar. Okay, vayter lo yukovrin. We said they wouldn't bury the skull of Nisrafin next to the Naragim and Nechnakin. The Kol Kach Lama, if you shen kovrin Russia, it's a tzaddik, you don't bury your Russia next to a tzaddik. Dam Rav Achbar Chanina, minayin shen kovrin Russia, it's a tzaddik. Where do we know this from? Shenem Rav Yehim kovrin ish, vinei roes hagdud, veyashlich vese ish bekever Elisha, veyiga ish ba'atzmos Elisha, veyichi, veyakom al raglav. That they took, the Rashi understands, this is the Navi Sheker that convinced Edo to come and have a meal with him, even against the wishes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this Navi Sheker, was his body was thrown next to that of Elisha. He touched the bones of Elisha, and right away he came back to life and moved away and left the vicinity of Elisha. So you see that he couldn't be there. You couldn't have this Rasha next to the tzaddik Elisha. So I'm like, Papa, v'dilma l'kiyume v'ina pishnayim ruchacha elai. Maybe that was not because he was a Rasha. Maybe that was to so that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be mekayim. What Eliyahu told Elisha was that he's going to have twice the kochos of Eliyahu, that Eliyahu was mechayim esim once. So this is Elisha's second tchiyas hamesim. So it's not a reflection on this guy that was near Elisha or Rosh Eitzel Tzad or anything. It's a adrab, it's a kiyum of what Elisha is supposed to accomplish. No, it says that he got up, but he didn't make it back home. If it was really to do with tchiyas hamesim, then the guy should have had a real tchiyas hamesim and gone back home. So where do we find that was actually fulfilled, that Elisha did have Pishnayim and that he did do a second Tchias HaMesim, and he cured the Tzoras of Naaman. That's how we see that a Mitzora has a status of a mace. That's where it was fulfilled by Elisha. But the fact that this guy came to life, that's the source of not burying a tzaddik Eitzel Russia. And in fact, Shulchan Aruch Paskins, we're not cover Russia Eitzel Tzadik. And the Gilyan Marsha on the side of the Shulchan Aruch in Kovrin, he says, sounds like Lechatchila in Kovrin. But B'dievet, if you were cover Russia next to a Tzadik, you're not going to move him after the Kvura. And his Raya is that even if you're going to say that if you're going to say that you do move it, then it should say, then there should be some halacha somewhere about when we should do that removal of the body, meaning Ad Masai, at what point? Once it's ready in the Sakal Abasar, so do you then assume, like the Gemara is going to say, that he has a kapara ready, so he already is a tzaddik, so you can leave him there. There should have been some discussion of that. The fact that there's no discussion of it tells you that this is only a din l'chachila, but b'di'eved, it would not be a problem. Ukshem shein kovin rasha etzal tzaddik, kachin kovin rasha chomer etzal rasha kal. So we don't bury a rasha chomer next to a rasha kal. V'liskan arba kvaros. Good, so then we should have four kvaros for the four mitzvos based in. Shnei kvaros gemara gemirula. Now they had a tradition that this is what you're supposed to do, that you have two kvaros, and the skull and the srafin are in one category, and the rugim and the chnakin are in another category. Now the implication, the assumption of the entire Gemara is that the skull and the srafin have done things that are more chamur than the rugim and the chnakin. They are bigger rishayim because they're getting a bigger misas. And the Sefer Sanhedrin Katana, he just points out that doesn't always seem to be true. For example, a murderer is it's one of the big three. It's one of the worst averos that a person could do, and yet he's not niskalin v'nisrafin. He gets sayif at a mechal Shabbos, which the Gemara in Maseches Yuma assumes that a mechal Shabbos is a lesser avera than ritzicha. A mechal Shabbos is chayiv skila. So it's not always an indication the level of misa. The best raya Sanhedrin Ketana points out from this week's parasha, Ben Soru Mora gets skila, and what avera did he do? What kind of rasha is he? He didn't do anything. It's nidon al shem sofo. Not only that, the Acharon point out, the Marsha raises the kasha. He's nidon al shem sofo because what's he going to do eventually? Sof melastimus abrios. Ultimately, the Gemara later in Sanhedrin says he's going to be a bandit, and what do bandits do that's so terrible? Rob, kill. If he actually robs and kills, he doesn't get skila. But we're giving the more chamer misa now for what he didn't do. So you see that it's clearly not an onesh for the it's clearly not an indication of the greater Russia. So that's a kasha. Amr ula amr Rabbi Yochanan. Achol chelav v'ifrash karban v'hemer dasa. Let's say a person ate chelav, he was mafresh a karban, and then he jumped religions. V'chazerbo, then he did tshuva. So while he's a mumar, his karban is pasul. So do we assume that since his karban became pasul while he was a mumar, even though now he came and he did tshuva, do we assume that the karban is nidcha? Hol v'nidcha yidcha? Rabbi Yochanan says, yeah, hol v'nidcha yidcha, that the karban remains pasul. It marnami amr Rabbi Yirmi amr vau amr Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan also taught us, if he became a shota after he was mafresh a carbon, where also you can't bring a carbon for a shota, and then he got better, too bad his carbon is already possible for that as soon as he became a shota. So tzricha, why does Rabbi Yochanan have to tell me both examples of dichoy, both when he becomes hemer daso and when he becomes a shota? If you only were to tell me when he becomes a mumar, I would think that's a strong dichoy because he did it to himself. But if it just happened he became a shota, I might think that's like a sleeping person. You could bring a carbon for a sleeping person. That's actually machlokas. Can you bring a carbon for the, are we saying it's like a sleeping person where when he wakes up we don't say, oh, he was nidcha while he was sleeping? Or are we saying that you can bring a carbon even while he is sleeping? And if it only would have told me the case of the guy who's nishtata, he doesn't get to decide when he's no longer a shota. Aval hasan to be other lachzar emalo. But in a case where he's hemer daso, he gets to decide when he does tshuva. So tzricha, that's why we need to be told that in both cases the dichoy is strong enough that he's nidcha for good. Amar of Yosef Avinanami Tanina, we have a riot to this. Hayu b'kachim. If let's say the Irani Dachas had karbonos in it, so kachem mizbeach yomusu, kachem mizbeach you block up in a small place, you give them barley until they die. Kachem bedek abayis yiftu, and kachem bedek abayis you redeem for money. Va'avinaba amay yomusu kiven de ichtol havilu kapara v'lesku l'gavoa. What's the reason we don't bring these as karbonos? Because you can't bring the carbon of a rasha. That a zevach rishoyim is toeva. You can't bring the carbon of a rasha. Why don't we just hang on to these animals until we actually carry out the punishment of the Irani Dachas? That punishment will be a kapara, then it will no longer be a zavach rishayim, it will be a carbon of tzaddikim. So lav mishum damrin hol v'nidchu yidchu, isn't it because we're assuming that there's dichoy? Am le'abai, mi savr, meis mitoch rishor, havi le'kapara? No, your assumption that there's kapara is not true by your nidacha. Someone who dies mitoch rishor doesn't have kapara. Meis mitoch rishor, lavi le'kapara. The Tanir of Shemaya, yachla filu pirshu avosu midarkei tzibur yitame. I might think that a kohen is even allowed to be mitame to a father who's porish midarkei tzibur, tamalomar. Ba'amav, ba'osa ma'isa amav. That only if the father was a good person. Amalei Rava, mikam adamis narag mitoch risho, lemeis mitoch risho. No, you can't compare someone who dies as a rasha to someone who was killed because of his rishos. Meis mitoch risho, kivin dechiyorche kamayis lo'avi lekapara. You're right. If the guy's father, the Kohen's father, was a rasha and he just died of natural causes, so then he's still a rasha, and that's why he can't be metamit him. But narag mitoch risho, a guy was killed on account of his rishos. Since it's such an unusual death and he was punished for the rishos, that is a kapara. Where are these two groups of people that we're referring to? The avadecha and chasidecha. Lav chasidecha, chasidecha mamish. Avadecha anach de mechai bidina de meikara v'kiven de iktol karilu avadecha. Isn't chasidecha people who were always tzaddikim and avadecha people who were rishayim, but because they got killed for their rishos, they now become avadecha, they now become tzaddikim? You can't compare Haruge Malchus to Haruge Beis Din. You can't compare people who are killed by the Malchus to people who are killed by the Beis Din. In what sense? Because Haruge Malchus, kibin de shalo bedin kamiktali, havilu kapara. Being killed by the Malchus is a kapara. But Haruge Beis Din, kibin de bedin kamiktali, lo havilu kapara. Haruge Beis Din were killed by Beis Din bedin, and therefore that is not the same kapara. Rashi writes, Haruge Malchus means, in this context, Haruge Malchus shel ovde kochavim. Sounds like if it's a Malchus shel Yisrael, that's bedin eragim, they kill bedin, the Misa would not be a kapara. That would be like a Beis Din killing the person. However, the Rambam, in the first parak of Hilchus Avel, Halachatas writes that all Haruge Malchus, even though it's bedin amelech, and the Torah gives rishus to the melech to kill them, misablam aleim. So the Lech Mishnah asks that the Gemara sounds like Rashi, that only those who are shalokedin aragim is the misa kapara. So why do you say aruge malchus Yisrael, bedin aragim the misa is a kapara? So he suggests that there's a difference between aruge malchus that Yisrael versus aruge malchus of the kochavim. In the Bir Agra in Yerudesim Shimnem Hey, he writes that aruge bezdin arein misablam aleim, because he was hit, the reason ain misablam Aruge Beis Din is because the person was hiter atzma lamisa. He gave him asra and he said afal pikein, so he was mater atzma lamisa. So that sounds more like the idea that it doesn't make a difference whether it's Haruge Malchus Yisrael or Haruge Malchus of the Chavim. Either way, such a person was not hiter atzma lamisa. Only Haruge Beis Din were hiter atzma lamisa. Because the Haruge Beis Din were ein misablam aleim, because he was hiter atzma lamisa, that the Gra says, and therefore he's considered a mavet atzma ladas, and you're not misabel on a mavet atzma ladas. But Haruge Malchus were never mavet atzma ladas, they were never hiter atzma lamisa. Okay, teida ditnan lo yukovnos obikirvos avosav viisal kdei tochim deiktol havilu kapara. You know, we said that we don't bury the person who was killed by Beis Din in kibrei avosav, but if you hold that once he's killed, he has a kapara, likbaru, let him be buried in the Kivrei Avosav. Says Mar, no, he does get a kapara, but misa ukvura bi'inan. The kvura is part of the kapara. Mosef Ravada Barava, loha yimisablin ela oninin, shein aninus ela belev. We don't do any avelus for the person. We only do aninus, because aninus is not a public expression. V'yisal kadai tachkim dikbar havilu kapara. But if you hold that the person becomes a tzaddik the second that you bury him, so li'avlu, why don't we do avelus? Meaning the guy's a tzaddik now, let's do avelus. And says Gemara, that's not just the misa and the kavura, that's the kapara. Bina nami equal basar. You also need the flesh to decompose. That's also part of the kapara. Deka nami dekatani nisakel abasar melakten esatzamos v'kavnos amimkaman. That only after the body decomposes do we then bury him in the rightful place. So shmamina. So we see clearly that the kapara is achieved, but the kapara is a multi-step process, and the way to achieve that kapara is through not just misa but also kavura and also the equal abasur. Avashi amar avelus meimus hakamischalas. When does the avelus begin? Mistimas hagolal, from the time of the stimas hagolal. Machlokes Rishonim what the stimas hagolal is. Rashi says the closing of the aron. Rabbeinu Tam says that it's the placement of the stone on top of the kever. So kapara meimasai kavya. When is the kapara? Mikichazu tsara de kivra porta. From the moment that it has a sense of that the person suffers a little bit in the kever. Hilka chol v'idchu yidchu. And therefore, since he's nidche from avelus, because at the very moment of that the avelus was meant to begin at the stimas hagolel, the person has not yet had his kapara. So the person is still a rasha. And that's why there's no avelus for Haruge Misos Beis Din. So that's a question a lot of the Acharonim raise. There's a lot of cases where at the time that the avelus is supposed to begin, we cannot begin the avelus, and we still do it later on. For example, you have a person who dies in Yantiv, so you can't begin the avelus right away. But there's no, the avelus isn't cancelled, it's delayed, you do it later on. When do we say hol v'nitcha yidcha? When do we not say hol v'nitcha yidcha? So is it a chiluk between that this mace isn't roi for avelus versus something external? Like the time is not a time for avelus. That's likely the distinction. Frankly, Mar, yachi lamali equal basar. What do you need the flesh to decompose. From Mishum Delo, meaning before you move the body, if already he experiences the tsar a little bit of the kever, he's already a tzaddik. Mishum Delo Efshar. No, because there's simply no other way to do it. You can't move a body while it's in the middle of decomposing. Kivrei Rav Avashakli Minei Afala Shisa Bas Yoma. They used to take dirt from the kever of Rav to treat a fever. Asu Amr Le Shmuel. So they told Shmuel what was going on. Amr Lehu Yavas Avdin. He said, it's fine. You're allowed to do that. It's not a violation of getting anah from that which belongs to a mace. Karka olam huva karka olam ein neseres. It's just karka olam which cannot become asur. Dichsiv ayashlecha safar al kever b'nei am makish kever b'nei am lavodus chavim. We compare it to that which is designated for avodah zarah. Mavodus chavim b'mechuber lo mitzra. Just like avodah zarah cannot be an issur that applies to that which is mechuber l'karka. Dichsiv asharatem yorshim osem es Eloheim al haharim haramim. And we darshan al haharim Eloheim. Their gods are on the mountains, but v'lo haharim Eloheim. Even if they worship the mountains do not become asur midin avodah zarah because they're mechubar. So achanami b'mechuber lo mitzar. Meis vei asked Gemara chotziv kever lavi v'halach v'kaver b'makom acher. If you dig a grave for a father and then you go bury him somewhere else, you're not allowed to be buried in the grave that you dug for the father in the first place. So I thought karkolim can't become asur. Hachmaiskin and bekever binyan. That's a kever binyan. It's not a kever that's part of the ground. Tashma kever chadash mutar ba'ana hitabol nefil asur ba'ana. The kever becomes asur ba'ana when you put a nefil in it. It's ground. Hachnami bekever binyan. That's also a kever binyan. Tashma nimtza atomer sholish kvarusein kever nimtza kever yedua. Kever amazkes rabim, kever anims. If you just find it, an unauthorized kever, mutil fanosu. You're allowed to get it out of your property. Pino mekomot tar mutar bana. When you get it out, its place is tar and it's mutar bana. Kever yadua. If it was a known rishus that to bury there, asul fanosu. You can't move it. Pino mekomot tame vaser bana. And if you do move it, it's tame and it's asur bana. Kever amazkes rabim, mutil fanosu. If there's a kever right in public place, you're allowed to get rid of it. Pino mekomot tar vaser bana. So don't you see that it becomes Asr Ba'anah, even though it's ground, and says Gemara, Hachanami Bekever Binyan. That's also a Kever Binyan that we're talking about, and therefore it's not part of the ground. But Enochinami, Karka Olam, cannot become Asr. Okay, we're out of time, but Hashem will pick up with that last little point tomorrow, Kever Anim Tzah.